I'm old enough to remember Sunday night at the London Palladium. Now, I don't mean the original version, which I think was in the 50s. I think it was the one in the 70s that I remember, one of its resurrections, shall we say. Do you remember that show? Yeah. There was a game on it as well, wasn't there? There was also a little game in it as well. The one I remember is called Name That Tune. People had to decide, after they were given a clue, how many notes they needed to name a tune. Of course, the joke was that some people said, I could name that tune in none, without hearing a note played. But of course, they were getting it from the clue. I suppose we could play it with hymns this morning, Gene. You know, give them a clue and you could play a few notes of a tune. But actually, I want to give you another challenge this morning. I want to ask you how many words it would take to tell the story of Jesus? How many words would it take you to tell the story of Jesus? 30, maybe. Well, next week, this room will be filled with 80 excited children. There is still space, as Lisa said, for people to pray. Not all the slots on our prayer diary and calendar for this week are filled up. So this is your last opportunity. And we really want somebody praying right through every morning. We're looking at the life of Jesus. We're looking from Christmas to Easter, from his birth through his death to his resurrection. So how many words could you tell the story of Jesus in? Could you do it in 500? Or what about 100? Could you do it in 50? What about 30? Oh, it's hard to do. It's hard to put your words and words around what Paul describes as a mystery. It is a story that is difficult to contain in our words or our understanding, and yet Paul manages to tell it in 30 words. 30 words. He appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by angels, was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up into glory. 30 words, the story of Jesus. Can I just check if this microphone is it working? Sounds a bit, can you hear me okay? Just sounds a bit dull. Maybe I'm standing in a different location, that's why. The story of Jesus. All stories have a beginning and an ending. And the first and final lines of this story capture and bracket Jesus' life. It begins with his birth. He appeared in a body like all of us, and yet not like all of us. Born of Mary, and yet here comes Lord of heaven and earth to live a human life. And the end is not like our end either. Not death, but taken up into glory. Returning to heaven to be Lord of heaven and earth. He appeared in flesh and was taken up in glory. Those are amazing sentiments, and we lose much of it in the sentimentality of a baby born at Christmas time. Maybe at times we need to look at the Christmas story in the middle of the year, just to get ourselves ready for when Christmas comes. A baby born not just as a human being with a message to share from God, for Jesus is the message in his actions and in his character, in the works that we see him do, in the things that he says. Here is God showing us fully what God is like and showing what we too may be like. There's an old saying that you can't get a quart into a pint pot. And yet that's true of Jesus, the vastness of God, the vastness of eternity in a single human life. That's just too big a story to understand and explain fully. And people found it so when he was walking on the earth. He clashed with the ideas of what God was like, what God would do. And sometimes our idea of God is much easier to accept than the one that is real. Meeting God face to face is not easy and is not always comfortable and is not always something we want. I remember visiting an older lady some time ago, not here, in another place, and we were having a conversation about faith. And I said to her, if you could know God face to face, would you want to? I still remember her reply, word for word. No. It's all right knowing he's up there, but I wouldn't want him to get too close. And yet God did in Jesus. And they killed him because it was uncomfortable. But that wasn't the end. Because as Paul writes, he was vindicated by the Spirit. Through the Spirit of holiness, Jesus was declared with power to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead, says Paul as he writes to another church in Rome. His resurrection from the dead doesn't only tell us that he is the Son of God, different from every human being who has ever lived, but actually it says to us what his death means. See, whatever stands in the way of you knowing your value before God, whether it's within you or around you, is put to one side and done away with and cleared out because Jesus died. So you can have that same new life. Think of it like this. Think of it like this. You are at one end of a tube. Hello. God's at the other end of a tube. And you're meant to be able to look right the way through it, to know God, to know his love and to know his life. But life is, Lisa, can you come and hold this, please? Thank you. But there's lots in life which get in the way of that. There's lots in life that stop us knowing our value with God. I don't know about you. Do you ever think you'd like to be in the papers? No. They're full of things that take away from life, really, aren't they? In human life. They're full of arguments and jealousy and things that people do wrong. Of course, you know, the life of the celebrities, it looks really, really attractive, and we're interested in that, probably because we're also a bit jealous of them, because we'd like their fame and their fortune. And of course, actually, we're not jealous, but we get a bit cross with them as well, don't we? Actually, you know, newspapers are the microcosm of our lives, really. One of the reasons we keep reading them is I think we know that actually the things that they're talking about, the things that are actually a part of our living. And all those things can get in the way. They can get in the way of us knowing God and his love and his life. And what Jesus does is he comes and he starts to clear out the tube. When he dies on the cross, all the things that stop us knowing our value before God and our love, God's love of us, are cleared out. And his resurrection tells us that that is true. There is nothing that is going to stop the life of God coming to us. Jesus is the one who was seen by angels and preached to the nations. Jesus is the one who bridges heaven and earth, who is shared fully in the life of both and brings them together. He is Lord of earth and heaven. He is Lord of life and death. Seen by angels, preached among the nations, proclaimed is a better translation, among the nations. A word that described the emperor's visit and rule in the Roman culture of the day. And if Jesus is Lord, then his coming, his life, his death, his resurrection, it all makes a claim on your life. He is in charge. And he invites you to recognize that. Paul says he was believed on in the world. That's why Jesus came, so that we could believe on him. You see, next week we are going to tell this story to the children. But we're not telling them it so they can pass an exam. We're not telling them so at the end of the week, you know, when we ask questions, they put up their hands and give us the right answer. And Jesus did not come so that we would have the right answers. You see, at the end of life, we all have to stand before God, but he's not going to give us a multiple choice exam. He's not interested in that. He is not going to say to you, now, about Jesus, what do you think? A, he's a wise teacher. B, a lovely human being. C, God with us. Or D, a deluded person. Gosh, it sounds like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, isn't it? No, he's not interested in giving us an exam. There is only one question. And it's yes or no. The question is, and the question will be, do you believe in my Son? Do you believe in my Son? Now, the story of Jesus is amazing. It's worth reading. It's worth sharing with children and adults. It is life-changing. It's a story which demands a response, and it has an impact. Because in him, in this mystery, it's from this which true godliness springs, which true life springs. It's not a story that you will ever fully understand. It's not a story that you have to. But it is a story you are invited to believe in. Not just its facts. Belief is a strange word. It's not about knowing truth or accepting these ideas. It's about trust. This story, and Jesus asks of you, do you trust him to unblock your way to God so that you can know your true value before God, so that you can know his love and life? This believing is about trusting in this person. And this believing is about being loyal to him. With God's help, allowing him to renew your life. Seeking to live his life and to share his love. See, godliness, as Paul writes, has a value in all things, holding promise for the present and the life to come. This story is not about going to heaven when you die. Only. This story is about life now. And in believing, that life starts right now. Here. And now, words. Words to describe a life-changing story that changes history, that can change your history. And that can happen right now, today. In 30 words. 30 words. Later on in communion, I'm going to be praying this prayer. And I'm going to invite you to share it in your hearts as well. 30 words. Count them. I know some of you are counting. I noticed you were counting the text earlier on. Well, count these. 30 words. Jesus, thank you for sharing my life and unblocking the way to me knowing God's love. Take charge of my life and make it new, now and forever. Amen.